I'm leading quantum innovation laboratory and in RAC1. So I just checked that how far from this perimeter institute, 3.9 kilometer for automobile and 3.3 kilometer for the human walking. So 41 minutes, but I'm a little bit farther from this PI, but where we are, our lab is located, and this is my current lab. I'm going to introduce the different platforms based on the semiconductors to build the quantum simulators. And that's what we call the extemporitons. And because the community, so here is a lot of undergraduate students as well as a theorist and so on, so probably high level I'm going to give. And my motivation, one of the motivation to build quantum simulators to mimic the electrons in the condensed matter system materials. So as you see, this is an orbital state of the electrons you are familiar with. And those electrons are located in the condensed matter. Like for, this is just the kind of cartoonish, the diagrams of the graphene or the high temperature superconductivity, which actually determines the exotic properties of the materials. The way to characterize the condensed matter materials are at least two methods. The famous method on the left is that you want to measure the band structures. When electrons in the crystal structures, the first thing you want to know is like what kind of band structure is coming from the crystal structure, and then like where the electronic properties coming from the Fermi levels. So that you want to measure this the band structure by understanding the crystal symmetries, and then this what is the energy versus the wave number or like momentum, what kind of crystal momentum so the electrons have. So that's what we call the ARPES, the angle result of the photon emission spectroscopy to measure that. Another way is see in the crystal how electrons are distributed, what kind of density and the distribution would be taken by the scanning tunneling microscopy. So that's the way to understand the materials, and we want to see like what kind of properties we can use for the applications. So we're exactly mimicking this kind of the real materials by looking at preparing our extemporitons, which is semiconductors, but we can make the artificial lattices with the semiconductor processing methods, which is the state of the art in the nanofabrications. And we can change the geometries, like square lattice, triangle lattice, and Kagome lattice, and so on. And then we can measure the electrons in the artificial crystal just mimicking of the condensed matter. So we are able to measure the angle resolved the band structures, just like the ARPES. We can also measure the polariton distributions in the real space. And further, we can do the interferometer measurements so that we can construct the complex wave functions of the system. So I think that's our system's advantages and toolboxes, and I'm going to introduce that. First, I'd like to make sure what I mean by the microcavity extemporitons. So polariton usually like combination of the photons and certain excitation in our system is that we are making this quantum well structures in the semiconductors surrounded by the cavity, so-called the distributed Bragg reflector, to confine the photons to interact with the exciton, to forming the strong coupling regime, and then we are now emerging the new quasi-particle, which we call the extemporitons. So I just like kind of give a very quick cartoon. We confine the photons, and where the maximum electromagnetic field, we put the exciton. Exciton is actually coulombically bound the electron photon, which is the fermions. And if you are the theorist, so you like maybe Hamiltonian, so we can maybe treat it as a kind of second quantization of the Hamiltonian. But when these two modes are strongly coupled, then we can have a renormalized the system to have a quasi-particles and polariton. Here, this two coupling between the exciton and polariton is a dipole interaction, because exciton carries a dipole and the photon has electromagnetic fields and they combine, and that's our major interactions. And why we are interesting this the extempolaritons? Because inherited by duality in nature, because the exciton is the massive particles, and that actually carries the particle nature, but photon is the photon, so that will also has electromagnetic field. So I'll just have a summarizing of those, the nature of those external photons, and I maybe shine the some interesting parameters which we like to engineer in the quantum simulators. So exciton, again, it's a columbically bound electron and hole, so that that could actually interact through this Coulombian exchange interactions. When this exciton, exciton actually scatter, then there's a, the long-range interactions, so that's what we are utilizing, particularly for the gallium arsenide, because I didn't mention that the, our material is a semiconductor 3-5, a gallium arsenide base. And that exciton we are engaging has the total angular momentum J equals 1, so that's considered as a pseudo half spin. In other words, with using exciton polaritons, we can also address the spins and use the light polarization. Photon gives a lot of interesting the properties, like kind of effective mass is low, so that we can also study directly mapping of those the information inside of the exciton polaritons. But bottom line is these two particles are bosons. Photons are bosons, there's no objection. And excitons can be also bosons, it's a composite bosons. If you have two fermions, they composite. If you are in the low density limit, then we can treat it as a boson. Therefore, our resulting, the particles exciton polariton also obey the bosonic nature. That means we are able to observe the Bose-Einstein condensates. Why we are interested in the Bose-Einstein condensate? Because we want to have a macroscopic coherent state, which should be part of our the simulation the components. So we've been able to identify the condensate states in the semiconductors. This is kind of signatures. The condensate means that the, you could macroscopically populate the ground states in the system. And then because we have advantage of the experiments, the spectroscopy we are able to do, so not only just the accumulation in the population in the Kx and Ky, so in the surge of the population near the k equals zero, is a one of the signatures of the BEC, Bose-Einstein condensate, but we are also able to measure the spectroscopy information. And but then one aspect, because it's a cavity, so we always actually leaking. So we are not true like kind of thermal equilibrium, it's dynamical. But we think that's more exciting. The way we created the condensate is we're pumping really high energy or the high momentum, but they actually went down to the lowest energy and the momentum space through the lot of different scatterings. And by this scattering, so we actually lost the coherence from the laser, and then they ultimately going down with their stimulated elastic scatterings so that we can have a spontaneous metric breaking to find this the condensate states. But ultimately, because our lifetime is just so short, determined by our cavity lifetime, so that they leaked out. So because of this loss, we continuously replenish of the particle. So that's what we mean by a gain dissipative system, or our system is truly non-equilibrium. And that's actually give us the one advantage is that we can actually create these the coherent states, not only just the global ground states, but also the metastable states upstairs if you engineer the lattice. So in the experiments, this is the Kagome lattice, the condensate in the one particular devices. When we change the pump density control, then our band structure, the population on the band structures changes, and ultimately it goes to the very narrow, the energy and momentum space, that's a kind of condensate. And we are going to use that condensate state as kind of the, one of the component of the graphs network. Once we have, then we can analyze this as a function of pump power so that what kind of interactions among the particles would appear and how they are changing as the pump power. So in our case, a pump power density change is sort of like temperature reduction in the AMO physics for the condensate. So this is kind of the one way we characterize. And then if you are in the theory cases, how we can describe the dynamics is using this open dissipative condensation for the Gropsch-Pitayevsky equation for the classical field of the condensate state, as well as we have a pumping reservoir states, and by combining these two rate equations, we can also dynamically monitor the condensate states. And so far, what we have done is the honeycomb lattices and Kalman lattices we have to build. We built. And then we are finding the band structure directly. So on the left is experimental data. And we are able to explain by very simple thing, single particle theoretical calculations. We can map the, all this even the kind of detailed structures we are able to reproduce and then see like, the comparison between the experiments and the theory. And also from that band structure calculations, we can also identify, quantify this the hopping integral T. Because this hopping integral will tell us the, how this wave function would be overlapped between the sites, and which is the important term for determining the kinetic energy. And right now we're theoretically also calculate the U, which is a on-site interaction, so that, that we like to build as a Herbert model. So that's a one direction we have, but then the recently we also have a second directions to have build like so-called like polariton graph networks we like to build. In this case, the node, we like to create the condensate states, and using the phase of the coherent states would be one of our spin degrees of freedom, and then we want to kind of connect them. So it's, I'll give you that just very simple, just ideas how what we are going to use this graph network in terms of basically using the gain dissipation simulator by the laser control, and then we like to build the optimization tool in the analog Hamiltonian sense. And the way we are thinking about the operation principle is this, because we are able to define the node by the semiconductor processing techniques. And then below threshold, because it, when I say this, the Bose-Einstein condensate is there's a threshold behavior. So that before condensation happens or the before the phase transition happens, we are able to locate these particles in this node. And then in our case, our J or the theta is the each node, the phase. And then that's what we are controlling by this connectivity of J. Once we create it, then we pump harder. And then above threshold, then we are now attracting this macroscopic number of the particles, and that particles is tried to be maximized because that's kind of the nature of the condensate, and consequently that will minimize the Hamiltonian. That's what we are gonna solve, this Hamiltonian as optimization. And one other geometry we are currently thinking is that, that we wanna have a benchmarking system. And I found that this the three-node neural network training is considered to be the NP-complete problem, and which has just a small number of the nodes we can create. And however, the input input nodes can be more, but we have a X number of the nodes which connected to the three nodes, and then we want to solve this as a kind of optimization benchmarking problem. So this is currently we are the designing at the theoretical level, and then hopefully we can make this. So I'll maybe stop here. If you have any questions, let me know.
So I have one question. So how do you like tune up or tune down the interactions between these bosons?
Tune up? What do you mean by the tune up?
I mean, so it seems like getting free boson hoppings, the native.
Right. So the way we are actually tuning, if I say this, we create this the lithography pattern the yeah. nodes, and the overlapping, because if we have a different potential strength, mm-hmm. the wave function spread will be different, because mm-hmm. this is finite potential, and then the overlap of this wave function will determine this our hop like kind of overlap the connectivity.
Right.
So how we can maybe close, and then what is the potential, that's a kind of design parameters. And also, we can also address the locally for the each node with the local lasers. Then we can also define those, the connectivity.
What about engineering like interactions between the bosons, like a Bose-Hubbard model?
Right, so that's my point, because even if our exciton is bosons,
yeah.
but there's constituent particles, like electrons and hole, so that when they are kind of connecting each other, yeah. then like what they feel is that the repulsive interactions between electron and electron and hole. So that's kind of Coulomb interaction, one of R square. So that's actually origin of the exchange interaction we are using, and then that actually gives us the on-site interaction.
Okay.
So it's not just like kind of true bosons, but there's a, you have to, like what we call the composite bosons. So still we can maybe inherit this the fermionic nature of the Coulomb interaction.
Any other questions? Okay, well, let's thank Naomi.